Good morning, church. Lisa, as you were speaking, the Lord brought a couple scriptures to mind. And in the words of this chorus, it says this: you make way through the waters. You walk me through the fire. Now, I don't know if the author of that realizes, but they were actually quoting Psalms chapter 66. And I want to read it to you very quickly. This is not my sermon. This is an appetizer. Is that okay? Psalm 66:12. You caused men to ride over us. How many ever felt like they've been trampled? You brought us through fire and water, but you led us to abundance. That's what God is famous for. He brings us through things, amen? But he also brings us, another version of this scripture says, to rich fulfillment. That's New King James says rich fulfillment. NSAB says abundance. And I got to thinking about that. And then the Lord led me over to Psalms 139, and this is for you, Lisa. David wrote this. He said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. See, the presence of God never leaves us. Paul writes in Hebrews, says that he will never leave or forsake us, amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't tell me that there's been men who's claimed to be atheists that's been in a foxhole, isn't that right, Pastor? And they cry out to God. I know it, the word says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it doesn't say there's limitation. There says there is a chance to backslide, but the grace of God outdoes, outperforms, and outwills anything that the devil wants to try to do to us. Amen? And so you can stand on this insurance policy, praise God, that the blessed assurance is going to take care of you no matter what. Can I get an amen? That's the word of God. I didn't plan to share that, but I want to tell you, I have seen time and time again addiction take people's lives working in the ER. I had a guy one time come in. He was dead, not breathing. They Narcan'd him 5 or 6 times. There was no hope. And I laid my hand on his leg and I said, Jesus. And he sat up. Nothing I did. The Lord did that. Why? Because he wanted to do what he's famous for. The presence of God doesn't hover over those who don't want him. He's selective. Meaning, if you're hungry, it says that he rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you're humble, I don't care what situation you're in, he can meet you where you're at. Amen? Meet you where you're at. Okay, I'll quit and start preaching now. I just wanted to encourage you in that because I know that God, he loves her. He loves that whole family. He's in the restoring, rebuilding, remodeling business. Amen? If he can take a mess like you and a mess like me, amen. He's going to do some good stuff today. Turn to your neighbor and say, today is your day. Thank you, Rocky. Could I get a couple guys to take these ladders and just unfold them and stand them up right there? Yeah. And then we're going to put this other one right here. They're going to be, all right. And I want that one right there, facing this way. Oh, look at this antique. Woo. That's probably old as you are, Harley. Praise God. I have to admit, because I like to do my own studying and I like to let the Lord speak to me what I'm going to preach on. But this prop is not my brainchild. I'm stealing it from somebody else. Is that okay? They didn't use it the way I'm going to use it, but I believe the Lord showed it to me to help bring his word and make it more alive so we can remember and have something to chew on when we leave here today, okay? Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Help me understand that. You go after things that drive you. You go after things that make you feel good. You go after things that you think are going to give you hope. The world does that too. It's called climbing the ladder of success. He says this, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and rust are going to destroy. Now, we in Minnesota here, especially Duluth, understand rust. You go to every car lot, used car lot, and every car's got cancer. And some's got stage one, some's got stage two, and some's got stage four where there ain't even a frame left underneath it. So we know how rust destroys. Now, you get in some other countries, maybe from where Rowena's from, did moths eat your clothes? Did you have that issue? See, we don't really realize that here because we don't deal with that kind of a moth too much. But other parts of the country, down south in Oklahoma when we lived down there, we had to have moth balls because they would get in and literally eat our stuff. So we don't want to put our good things there, and none of us would want to take our bank accounts and just lay them out for people to look at on the street, because why? It says that thieves are going to break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth can't get them, no more Minnesota rust, and there's no thieves that are going to be able to break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart is also. If you open your Bibles, how many got a Bible with you today? I don't care if it's a pad, if it's a phone, or if it's the real deal. I want to open up to Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Jesus was speaking. How many know that, just like that commercial that used to be on TV years ago, is about some insurance coming. E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. How many know when Jesus spoke, people listened? Even the demons trembled. He got people's attention. Not everybody liked him. How many know that he wasn't necessarily liked or was popular? But how many know he didn't care? Because he carried with him the anointing of the Father. And he had a job to do and a purpose to fulfill. Amen? And he did it unapologetically. But when he spoke, people listened. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall because it was founded on a rock. When I was building, when I was younger, and living in Oklahoma, I built a lot of homes and additions and stuff. And one of the things that we had to do, we had to put extra anchor bolts through the bottom plates into the footings. Another thing we had to do, we had to put cross bracing. I used to have to take a saw, and after I get the walls framed, I would have to run a diagonal kerf blade saw line through it, and I would attach steel to that area, because it would give wind-resistant structure against the tornadoes. The extra anchor bolts would help keep it secured to the foundation so the tornado winds could not come. If you did not put that in your walls and in your buildings, when the inspector would come, he would say, uh-uh, this ain't going to fly. Or it's going to fly. This ain't going to pass. It's going to fly on out of here. That's what Jesus is talking about. He said, you got to build your house on a firm foundation. And then he goes on to say, everyone who hears these words of mine does not act on them. We've got a choice, you know. You can either be smart or you can be stupid. It's up to you. You can either do the right thing or you can do the wrong thing. You can make good investments or you can make poor investments. And so how many know when you're building your house, you want to make a good investment? Because you're going to be living in that thing. And who wants to be laying in bed or sitting on the toilet or whatever and a tornado comes and blows your house off you? No. You want it secured. Ain't that right? So Jesus said, whoever hears my words and does not act on them, but he's a foolish man. He builds his house on the sand. The rain comes. The floods come. The winds blow. Slam against the house. It falls. Because he did not build it right. Now, 1989, I was building a huge, huge, huge 350-foot by 100-foot barn for a guy in Enid, Oklahoma. And it's a very wealthy man, but I always felt like there was something about him. You know, the Spirit gives you wisdom. How many knows that? And discernment. I felt there was something crooked about this guy, but he was fair with me, but I just felt like there was something just not right. Well, we got all the trusses put up and got wind bracing in and everything, went home for the night. We come back the next day and we drive over a crest of the hill and we're all kind of looking, where's the barn? I mean, these were 12-foot walls and the trusses are probably probably 30 feet in the air or better. Where's this barn? We're all looking. And we're talking. I had a couple guys working with me that went to church with us, and that's weird, you know. And we drive up through the driveway and look, the whole building is laying on the ground. Because a windstorm came, and he wanted to collect insurance. Destroyed the whole thing. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take something that God has been building in your life, and once you let up just a little bit and you begin to fall for the things of the world, you let the enemy come in and give you just a little bit of, well, hey, you know what, if you do this, it'll be a lot easier. And you start running with the wrong people, doing the wrong thing, making the wrong decisions. What's going to happen? He's going to cut the braces out of your life, and you're going to collapse. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, bad company corrupts good habits. It's important who we have alongside us building with us, amen? Man, I ain't following my notes for crying out loud, forgive me. Because God wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. He wants us to partake when we're working together with one another, amen. We're not building a church building. We're building a body of Christ where we can grow and be mature in him, amen. so that when we lay our hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Amen. When we want to move in people's lives and help them through temptations and trials and tribulations, we've got the backbone and the roots to go down to be able to speak the word of God into their life. This is another version of that, the scripture. I want to read it to you because it speaks a little bit differently. I was talking to Corey last week. He said, you made a comment about a certain scripture that I read out of a certain version. I said, well, it's just because sometimes different writers can bring it to a little bit different life. It's a word of God, amen? But sometimes we need something that we can relate to just a little bit better. We're not changing the Bible. We're just bringing it into a different ability for us to understand it. I want to give a quick testimony. This is just a sideline. Dan, I want to thank you for praying for me last week for my headaches. I had not had a headache all week. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. This is Jesus talking. If you work these words into your life, you will be like a smart carpenter who builds his house on the rock. The rain poured, the river flooded, a tornado hit it. But guess what? It stayed still. It was fixed on the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't really apply them to your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. The storm rolled in, the waves came in, knocked the house down, the wind blew all the stuff all over the place. It could be nothing but debris, and you fell like a deck of cards. You see, we have a choice, even today, to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Thank you for those three amens. James says this, we all stumble. But the word of God says this too. The righteous man may fall seven times. What's he going to do? Is he going to lay there? He's going to get up, right? He's going to move on. He's going to wipe himself off and say, oh, I may have fallen, but the anointing of God is still going to carry me through. Amen? Praise God that there was people looking out the window when Goldie was laying in the grass. He did not leave her. He did not forsake her. Yes, she's had to suffer a little bit, but he's not done fixing her. Amen? Second Timothy 3, verse 1 and 5. This scripture's been read a lot lately, but it's so pertinent. But realize this, that in the last days, does that ring a bell? In the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Has anybody except me experienced that? Nobody? All they care about is their own time, their own direction, all about me. It's all about me, Lord. It's all about me. No. Lovers of money climbing the ladder to try to get the best that they can get, beat the best that they can be, get the biggest badge, get the award for doing the most sales. Everybody's got, they're out for themselves instead of the team approach that God wants us to be, amen? What do you think a body is? We preached on this a couple months ago. Everybody needs a big toe. for balance, right? But everybody wants to be the mouth. Because you can shove stuff in it and you can spit stuff out. But a team is a body. We're not lovers of ourselves, lovers of money. He does not hang out with the boastful or the arrogant or the revilers or the disobedient. Amen? But this is what it's like. Become ungrateful. How many know of ungrateful people? I deserve this. I'm entitled to this. Well, my dad didn't buy me a pony. Well, maybe your dad did. My kids all got ponies. No, I never had a pony on the place. I got them horses. Where was I at? Unloving, irreconcilable. How many people are angry all the time because they don't know how to forgive? How many know that forgiveness does not help the other person? It helps you. If you're going to walk around, there's probably people mad at me, and they're just wet, madder than a wet hen. That guy, that Steve Tucker, my gosh. Lord, strike him down. Send the sons of thunder, Lord. And I don't even know they're mad at me. So who's it hurting? It ain't hurting me, hurting them. And if I have offended any of you before, now, or in the future, forgive me. No, we have to learn to say, hey, not just, I'm sorry. We need to say, hey, would you forgive me? I was living in the flesh. I was just being stupid. I was being what I do naturally, and I need to let the Holy Spirit help me to do what he wants me to do. He forgive me. And you know what happens? There's a release there. Something happens in the spirit realm that actually affects the physical realm, amen? You can go from... I hate that person to, oh, you know, they're not so bad, you know. It's like when Harley preached that one time, he said he took his boss out to dinner that was so mean and rude and crappy to him, and yet what happened? When he took her out to dinner, she became a different person, didn't she? That's happened time and time again. I might have shared the testimony that I was preaching at another church in Duluth a few years ago, and this grouchy woman walked in, and I mean, it's just like she was throwing darts at me, and I was trying not to look at her, but, you know, I just kept on getting attention from her. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know. And I went to the pastor after. I said, what's with this lady? Oh, she's had just years of abuse and hard times and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, wow, so she's not mad at me. You know, but it's easy to take on somebody else's offense, isn't it? And so the Lord spoke to me. He says, I want you to put gas in her car. Did I tell you this story before? No. If I did, forgive me. My memory's not as good as it was 20 years ago. So I went up to her after church, and I said, I'd like you to follow me to the gas station. What for? I said, well, I'd like to put some gas in your car. Why? You know, she's making it really hard, you know, and I just said, because I really felt the Lord wants me to do that. Well, he said to do it, okay. So she followed me to the gas station, and I said, go ahead and put gas. And she stops at $5. And she's got a great big Oldsmobile station wagon. Great big Delta 88 model. The big tank, you know. How many remember them big tanks that they didn't ride down the road? They floated, you know. And it was packed full of stuff, so it's probably way overweighted, you know. So I'm sure it got a whopping 5 miles of the gallon. And so she put $5 in. She's there. I said, that's not going to get you very far. No, but it'll get me where I need to go. I said, well, put more in. She stopped at $10. And I said, no, I want you to fill your car. And how many know that God can make something wonderful out of something kind of idiotic? How many really? He takes the insignificant things in life and do something miraculous with them. Amen? So as she's putting gas in her car, I said, no, I want you to fill it up. All of a sudden, tears begin to run down her face. Tears. Because nobody that I know of had ever tried to bless this woman because she's so abrasive, who would want to? I wouldn't blame anybody. Because in my natural self, I would have just said, see you later, broad. But no, God told me to do it, and I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. I did not want to be a lover of myself, malicious, treacherous, a hater of somebody, because their outward expression is part of what's going on inside their heart. Amen? She was struggling. And as it began, she put gas in her car. Before you know it, she was bawling. My wife got out of the car, and we began to pray with her. And God did something in that woman that day. And it didn't even cost that much. Folks, God may want you, that $20 bill that's been burning that hole in your pocket for the last week or two, God may want you to use that to do something miraculous in somebody's life. Ooh, I didn't get much amen after that one, Pastor. So if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, Rocky, verse 24, Jesus says this: no one can serve two masters. Either going to hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and wealth. So I'm looking at these two ladders here, and I know you have been for a while, wondering, am I going to do acrobatics off of them? Or go ahead, Rocky, jump, and I'll catch you. This ladder right here is not safe. It's just not. I would not climb up here to hang a light fixture. I would not climb up here to nail some boards up. But this represents how stupid we can be, because we will pursue the things of this world because somebody will say, hey, there's something really cool if you'll just climb up there and grab it. There's money. There's fame. There's the ability to feel like you're important. Those are all important things, but if they're not ordained of God, if they come with the deception, then we need to be careful. And then some of us are like this. Well, you know what? I can handle just a little bit. You know, I can get by. You know, maybe Monday and Tuesday, then I'll get down and go to Bible study Wednesday night. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Maybe Saturday I'll get up here because things are really going in my life. And somebody promised me that if I would come do something with them, I'm going to really be important. And I like the feeling that I get. I like the feeling of feeling free. We get succumbed into things, amen? Just like she was speaking, none of us want to be addicts. We don't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to be an addict today. We don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to backslide today. Slewfoot, the enemy comes, but not just comes only to just kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to suck us in. And if we're not grounded in the Word of God, we will be sucked in. So we get to feeling, okay, this isn't so bad. I snuck from it last week. You know, I got by. Nobody caught me. I'll go a little bit higher. Now you get all the way to the top and you're shaking, but you can't get off because you're sucked in. But see, the Lord, that's not his plan for our life. And so some of us will go, you know what? I followed the world, but I'm gonna try to make a step over to Jesus, what he wants for me. And oh, I can do it. I can keep one foot in the world and I can keep the other over here. Uh-uh. You can't put one foot in the grave and one on the ground, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall in and you're going to die. And you're going to be buried. But see, if you stay on the solid foundation, the Holy Spirit's going to take you up higher and higher. He's going to elevate you. He says, I reject the proud, but I give grace to the humble. And it's the humility in our life that allows the Lord to lift us up. See, there's no big shots. Pastor said it time and time again. There's no big shots here. I'm not a big shot. In fact, I'm the littlest shot. I don't even deserve to be up here. Because there's been time and time again I have failed. But by the grace of God, he's brought me through. So what we need to do, we need to be that smart builder. We need to get rid of this junk. And turn away from it. This is what Paul said. Anybody liking this? Is it sitting home? Galatians 5, verse 1. New American Standard says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. And do not be subject to the yoke of this old piece of junk anymore, your old lifestyle, but be grounded on the Word of God. Get around people that's going to build you up, speak truth into your life, and help you to be more than a conqueror. Amen? Then he goes on to say this, Galatians 5, verse 7. You were running well. You were climbing well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? How many remember back in the Old Testament, I think it was Joshua and Caleb had an order to go spy out the land. How many remember that? Was that in Joshua, Paul, Harley? Forgive me. I mean, I know a lot of the Bible, but I don't remember everything, you know? But they went out and spied out the land, and then they came back. And how many know they sent other people to spy out the land? Other people who were lovers of themselves, other people who did not have the vision of God, other people who did not care about others, who really didn't for themselves. They came back wimpy and scared. They said, we cannot do it. I'm going to tell you, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you seek the Lord, things are going to happen. So as the spies come back and they give the report, we can't do it. They're too big over there. And Joshua came and said, what are you talking about, too big? The only thing big over there was all the promises of God, all the rewards that we can get. Oh, no, but the guards, them people were too big. Joshua said, they're nothing for crying out loud. The God that split the sea for us, the God that drowned the Egyptians for us, the God is who made the heavens and the earth and everything for us can surely put these people under our knives, amen? And yet the Word of God says, the words of our brethren discouraged us. See, we cannot listen to just people out there because bad company corrupts good habits, amen? And people mean well when they say stuff to us sometimes. Well, it was the will of God that you're suffering. Baloney. It's the will of God that you be delivered and healed and set free and become all that God wants you to be, amen? It was not the will of God that I got diagnosed with cancer, but it's his will that I'm cancer-free. You were running well. Who hindered you? All the idiots that you listened to. That's what. This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Did you hear that? You listen to stupid advice, you're going to do stupid stuff. You listen to godly counsel, and you're going to be more than a conqueror. I have confidence in you in the Lord. Now listen, Paul is telling this to normal people like you and I. If you don't listen to stupid people, but you follow after the things of God and his righteousness, we can have confidence in each other. Amen? We can have confidence that God is going to move on our behalf, whether or not you get a pony or not. Right? Don't adopt any other view, but the one who has been disturbing you, he will bear his own judgment. Jesus said this, and so did James. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Because anything other than this is from the evil one. People are so messed up today, they don't know who they are or even what they are. Why? Because they're not standing on the word of God, first of all. And second of all, they're not letting their yes be yes and their no be no. We have to decide. Okay, I know this message may not be like, oh, it's a good feeling message. No, but it's the truth. It's the word of God. We need to turn our back on the junk that's been deceiving us. Amen? And get grounded in what he wants to do as we climb the ladder of success, the direction that the Lord has for us. It says in his word that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but give you a future and a hope. Proverbs says that a man's heart makes his plans, but God ordains his steps. Back in 1979, there was a guy named Robert Zimmerman. How many remember Robert Zimmerman? Also known as Bob Dylan. He wrote a song. You gotta serve somebody. How many remember that? It's the truth. You may be a preacher, teacher. You may be sleeping on the floor or sleeping in a king-size bed. You might like whiskey or you like might like milk, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You see, he gives us a little of both there because we need to turn away from the things of this world and get anchored on what God has ordained for us. I got news for you. Paul wrote it in the Philippians. He said, one day, every knee, either in heaven, still on the earth, or even those that are under the earth, are going to bow their knees and they're going to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're fortunate that you're still alive and living and breathing. You can say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to surrender all. You know, we don't want to just surrender our emotions because our emotions, they'll ruin us. But God wants us to surrender all. Say all. What does all mean? It means all. It means everything. He wants you to surrender what you have and what you don't have. He wants you to surrender your dreams and your visions, and he wants you to line them up with the word of God. It says in the word that when a man's way pleases the Lord, he even makes his enemies at peace with him. Amen? When you honor the Lord first, he gives you the desires of your heart. Amen? But when you begin to honor the Lord first, a lot of times our desires change. I mean, how many remember their first vehicle? And like, I don't know about you, but I remember drooling over magazines. We didn't have internet or anything. We got, you know, Popular Mechanics and Hot Rod magazine and look, and these guys have got these hot rod cars. They, oh, my gosh, I'd love something like that. And, you know, and saving money, hopefully I can buy one. I couldn't give a flip now about that old vehicle I used to drive because I know it's rusted into the ground and buried somewhere. But see, God has changed my vision. God has changed my desires. Now my desire is I want to see all my grandkids grow up to serve him. My children grow up to serve him. My neighbors, my friends. See, God changes the desires of your heart. What was important when you were living in the world shouldn't even matter now. Because what should matter now is what's going to happen in eternity. There's going to be a lot of people. A few weeks ago, Paul and I were talking about this. There's going to be a lot of people that did all these things, and Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. There's going to be some people that's going to be shocked when they get to heaven. They're going to get into heaven, but they're going to say, the Lord's going to say, well, you know, everybody saw you down there, but here's a broom. Would you mind taking care of maintenance? And sister so-and-so that spent years on her knees interceding before the Lord, nobody ever knew it. He said, you know what? I'm going to give you a title of caretaker of my domain. Because he says this. He says, those who are, forgive me, I'm having a brain fart. Those who are good caretakers with the little will be given much. The talents. See, it doesn't matter our titles. We're nobodies. But God can use and make somebodies out of. Never underestimate humble beginnings. If God is for you, who cares who's against you? Isn't that right? Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I want to encourage you today. We're going to pray for some people. But if you're that one that say, you know, I've been living on both ladders, stepping on and back and forth and back and forth, that's no place to be. It is no place to be. Because one of these days you're going to fall. And you're going to fall hard. And put that scripture, that picture up there. Not the one with all the people in it, but the other one. If you would, please. No matter how far you walked away from God, the return trip is only one step. How many believe that this morning? The grace of God transcends everything else. And I don't know about you, but I need more of Jesus in my life. Paul says this. He said this in Philippians. He said, I've not yet arrived. How many have arrived? I've not yet arrived. He said, but one thing I do, I don't give up. I press on. I don't worry about what happened in the past. I've asked forgiveness. In fact, when the enemy tries to throw it in your face, you know what you say? Yeah, he said, just say, no, Jesus took care of that on the cross. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, I gave him all of my junk. He got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he's making something beautiful out of me now. And that's what you have to stand on. That's what you have to build your life on. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. Hallelujah. How many know that he knows everything about you? Every detail. There's nothing that's hidden from him. So why not surrender it all to him? He knows what you've been doing when nobody else is looking. But he wants to make you greater than your past. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to walk out of here today the way you walked in. I don't know about you, but I want more. I need more. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it. I need all that Jesus has for me in my life. And I'm looking forward to where he's going to be bringing me to. Clinton, I want you to come up and pray. Would you? When Jesus was hanging out with the guys, the disciples, a woman came in and poured fragrant anointing perfume on him. And there was mumbling and complaining about that? Can you believe that in a body of Christ, that there'd be mumbling and complaining? Amongst his disciples even? Can you believe that? The guys that hung out with the best preacher that you could ever hear, the most anointed prophet, and yet they still had the audacity to mumble and complain. So what Jesus did, he looked at him and he said, those who have been forgiven much, love much. How many of you have been forgiven much? How many are thankful that you're not where you were? So I'm going to ask Clinton to pray whatever the Lord lays on your heart, because I know that he wants to use each and every one of us. And if you need prayer this morning, please come. Please come. We're going to pray with you.
You're all welcome to come to the altar. Anyone that needs prayer, please come to the altar. Father God,